currently 47 degrees in Kalamazoo. And to start off Monday with something rather heavy, we're going to meet the cast and director of Rock of Ages, which opens this Friday at the Parish Theater, a production of the Kalamazoo Civic. It is really an honor and almost I'm a little worried having five people from this cast in the studio here today, and that includes director Nikki Poor, Robbie Cook, who's the lead actor playing Drew, Alex Olwin playing Stacy, Jax, Sam Slotto as Regina, and Caitlin Sackett as Sherry. Thank you all for coming in. Just have a big hello.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
I'll go with you, Nikki, to begin with. You're the director of Rock of Ages. Do you know anything about how this piece was created or who came up with the idea?
Yes. It was created as it's a jukebox musical, so all of the songs are pre-recorded songs from other artists. There's actually a full page in the program that lists all 27 songs that we use and all of the people that wrote them and everything. So it's all 80s music with a few early 90s songs thrown in. And they took those songs and they wrote a book to and made a plot up based on the songs. So we go from, we open with just like Living in Paradise and move on through. There's some Pat Benatar, Guns N' Roses, Poison, all woven in. So it is all the tunes from the 80s that you know and love.
And are you just singing along with a pre-recorded soundtrack?
Oh, absolutely not. We have a live band on stage. The name in the show is Arsenal. He's Stacy Jax and the band Arsenal. So we call them that. They actually have lines and some minor blocking. And it is led by Courtney Carpenter, our music director. She's also in the band. And then it's Courtney and then a four-piece rock band.
Okay.
Ripping guitar solos, everything you expect.
Fantastic. So when was this put together? When did rehearsals begin?
We started rehearsing the Monday after Thanksgiving and then rehearsed for three weeks until Christmas. And then we had the week in between the Christmas and New Year's off. And then they came back and we just started tech yesterday. So we saw all the wigs and the hair came out and the costumes and the immense lighting design by Anne Marie Miller, which is fantastic. So we open on Friday.
What about the Parish Theater did you like about staging this show?
Well, the Civic, they have 16 shows, and then so one musical is in the Parish Theater this year, or every year, and this one. The Parish Theater is more for experimental, often a little more edgy things. This show is not a parody of the 80s. It pays homage. So we have some language and some situations that deal with the rock and roll lifestyle. It is a comedy, however, but there are some things that maybe make it a little edgier. So we put it in this cool multi-form theater. They built a thrust stage and a bar. It takes place in the Bourbon Room on the Sunset Strip, and also a gentlemen's club on the other side. So they built us a great platform and then a stage for the band. There's an immense truss for all this rock and roll lighting. So it's really cool. It's going to be intimate, and the actors come right out into the audience. The thrust stage comes out, so they're surrounded on three sides by the 190 audience members that'll be there.
So were you watching MTV in the 80s like I was?
Oh, my friend. Yes. Absolutely. This music is, I wanted to do this show because of the music. I think I have a memory. So I think I said, at one point, oh, I remember when at my eighth grade dance, I had my first kiss to this song. I have all these memories of these songs and dancing in my living room and doing all the moves from MTV, crawling on the ground like they do in Hungry Like the Wolf. Duran Duran, and yeah, so I love this music, and it's been just a great joy to work on it.
Your cast, however, would not necessarily remember have
Some
these memories.
Some of them do.
But there's a lot of younger people in the studio here. So what were you looking for when it came to casting day?
We needed people that could sing these songs in the original form they were written. Courtney has done a great job. She really wanted the band to stick to the rock and roll sound and shred the guitars and the, you know, beat the drums as to stay true to the original artists. But we needed people that could sing the high rock and roll, scrulty, belty sound, and that were willing to have fun and just go for it, because the 80s were nothing if not out there. There's no room for holding back. And so that's what we were really looking for with the 18 actors that we got, who range in age from 18 to 53.
All right.
And then the crew opens us up from 16 to 60. So we have a pretty wide variety of age, which is awesome.
Well, Robbie Cook.
Hi.
Not too long ago, you were starring in High School Musicals and are now basically one of the Kalamazoo Civic Theater's favorite players. How do you relate to Rock of Ages?
Well, I am a belty, skrelty high tenor. even the time I spent in Western's theater program, I was like a rock tenor. But my parents graduated high school in the 80s. So growing up, I got to hear a lot of these songs just in the car, in the house sometimes. I know I listened to a lot of Journey. Before it was on Glee. And just all those, you know, and I grew up with it, and it's kind of how I learned how to sing this music.
When you look at today's music, how do you think music has changed? I mean, what are we missing that was, that kind of existed back then?
Nowadays, it's, I know aesthetics come into a lot of it. It seems back then, it didn't really matter what you looked like. It mattered who rocked harder. Whereas nowadays, a lot of it is about who can make a good videos and things like that. So I think it was just more true to the sound.
Huh. Very good. Good answer. Well, why don't you take us up to a tune that we're going to listen to here. It's called I Wanna Rock.
So in the show, this song is a fantasy about what I want to do. And I realize in this moment that I want to be a big rock star.
Robbie Cook will be on stage Friday with cast and company of Rock of Ages, which is a Civic Theater production. And you can find out more at 343-1313 or kazoocivic.com. And I do hear Friday's show has been sold out. Is that correct?
Yes. Here. Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. So the first two shows are unavailable. So your tickets can be until February 11th, unless there's news of a holdover. But,
There will be holders. If there were, they would be within that time frame because the Civic has to do another show. So the holdovers would all be within that time.
Okay. Very good. All right. Let's take a break with some music.
There's no guess. You want something? You gotta just take it. Come on, first thing that comes out of your mouth.
Well,
say it, Wolfgang.
I wanna rock. I wanna rock.
There's nothing in the world that makes me go.
I Wanna Rock. That's Rock of Ages from the soundtrack. And I'm in the studio here today with the cast of Rock of Ages, which begins at 7:30 p.m. Friday night in a sold-out show. The shows continue through February 11th, and you can find out more for tickets at 343-1313 or kazoocivic.com. And hi, Screamy Tenor.
Yeah.
Is it hard to do? It always sounds like they're shredding their vocals up, but I hear there's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
There is. It takes a lot of good breath support and knowing when to stop for the day. Mm-hmm. Just knowing when to take your rest.
Yeah. So singing is not a, singing is a finite thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you ever lost your voice?
No. Not any more than like having a sore throat. I've never sang myself into tiredness or anything like that. So
I have a great memory of not too long ago during the run of Little Mermaid, the actor who played a major role and had a huge song in Act Two did lose his voice and got ill, I believe. And you stepped in for one night. It was a really great performance. Yeah,
it was terrifying. I had never done it before, never practiced it, didn't know any of the blocking. I barely knew the words to the song, but
he was amazing.
A lot of fun.
It was awesome.
I've heard nothing.
It was really cool
things.
To watch.
Yeah, it was. Well, let's have you move the microphone. There's five people, three microphones here. So, Alec, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
And would you tell me about what your character Stacy is up to in this show?
What is Stacy up to? Stacy is not the nicest guy. Stacy is the guy who who's like the stereotypical rocker. He's all about rock and roll and girls and having a good time and really doing whatever he wants. That being said, it's a lot of fun to play.
Well, every show, the better the villain, the better the show.
Exactly, right? I would not say that I have many friends in this show. Stacy has many friends in this show, but that's not exactly a bad thing. I love playing the bad guy. It's a lot of fun to kind of be selfish on stage. I don't get that much.
Are you part of the band Arsenal, or are you a competing musician?
I am part of the band Arsenal. I am the lead singer of the band Arsenal, at least for a portion of the show. That is kind of my entrance into the whole show.
The basic premise of the show is that Stacy Jacks is leaving Arsenal. So they have to do one last concert, and chaos ensues because, yeah, so.
Well, it also says here that there's a couple of developers that are looking to change the beloved venue into a strip mall.
The true villain of the show is a man named Hertz, played by Josiah Bildner, and he's a German developer who wants to come take over the strip, and his son Franz comes with him. Played by Ken Holda, and they basically buy the Sunset Strip. It's a little fun and fictitious, but yeah, they buy the Sunset Strip from the mayor of Los Angeles to knock it all down and put up clean, efficient houses and get rid of all the rock and roll.
Yeah, the anathema.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to rock and roll. Well, let's keep going, and let me talk to Sam and hear about your character.
Yeah, hi. I play Regina, who, speaking of the mayor and Hertz and Franz, she starts off as the mayor's assistant, but when she hears of this development, she's a very passionate woman and wants to fight for rock and roll and to save the Sunset Strip and everything that it stands for, which is, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, that kind of that kind of vibe. So she goes on a crazy protesting, she goes and just goes crazy and tries to really throw herself into this this cause. She really likes to fight for a cause.
Can you tell me if the songs just appear, or do the creators somehow make the lyrics of the originals work for the plot?
Oh yeah, really, they really do.
It's awesome lyrics.
It's kind of cool that. That they, at the same time that it helps the plot, you still get to sing along with the songs that you know from the 80s. So
it really works out well.
It does.
Yeah. So have you seen any other jukebox musicals or been in any productions like this?
I have not. I was actually, I'm kind of semi-new to the theater scene in Kalamazoo. I did theater as a kid, but then I stopped for a long time. So I'm kind of just getting back in it. So I'm a little bit of a newbie.
Have you done some productions recently?
Yeah, this is my third show with the Civic. I started off with Sister Act, and that was a lot of fun. I was a dancing nun, so everything you ever dreamed of. And then and then I was just Flounder in The Little Mermaid. So that was a lot of fun as well. Very different from Regina.
I didn't know that was you.
Yeah.
Surprise. Oh, there's a lot of makeup on backstage. I can't always see the person through the makeup. Oh, wow.
So it's really fun to be a part of the Civic, and I feel like I've just grown so much from it. So this is a lot of fun. I'm honored to be in this production.
It is a big time commitment, though, isn't it? It's if you're working, and then you're pretty much your evenings are gone.
Yeah, we put a lot of time into rehearsing, and then the schedule changes a little bit when you start performing, but then you still have to be in the headspace as if you've been rehearsing every day so that you can perform just as well the next weekend.
The Little Mermaid, where you played Flounder, that was held over quite a few times. Those performances went from before Thanksgiving to just about Christmas, right?
Yeah, we... I think we ended up doing 5 weekends total, plus a few in between for sponsors. So there were so many, so many performances.
What did you learn from that?
After a while, it takes a lot of concentration and, at least for me, a lot of concentration and just conscious being aware of trying to stay in the moment. Because after doing it so many times, I can only imagine what they do in, you know, professional companies and on Broadway. They do so many shows, and you have to make it new for each audience, no matter where you are in the run.
And audiences, they can be very different, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the vibe changes with every night, depending on who's out there and how they respond. But you can't let that affect your performance. But it does feel really great when you get a really responsive audience. It really, the energy is electrifying.
Well, I'm talking to Sam Slotto, who's in Rock of Ages, and also in the studio here with me are Alec Olween, Robbie Cook, Nikki Poor, and Caitlin Sackett. And I think Caitlin's the last person I have to chat with about your experience and your character. You play Sherry.
Yeah, I play Sherry Christian, who is a young girl looking to become an actress, and she moves out to LA from Kansas, actually. She kind of defies her parents and goes to LA to be an actress, and kind of finds the Bourbon Room after being mugged. Well, Drew really finds her, I should say, Robbie's character.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little more about your background as a performer.
I really started out as more of just a singer, as a classical singer. I've taken classical singing lessons for like 8 years now and just worked on my music.
Are you in school currently?
No.
Okay.
No, just private, just like in my spare time. Mm-hmm. I love to do karaoke. I like to do open mics and stuff. That's fun for me. And I found theater a few years ago. I did musicals in high school. But I found the Civic, and I really love it here. And I love community theater.
What are some other productions you've done?
I have the other productions at the Civic I've been in are Oklahoma and Sideshow last year. Mm-hmm. They were wonderful. I've done a few other community theater shows at Kennelberger Park, like Once Upon a Mattress, Brigadoon, Oklahoma again. I've done Oklahoma twice.
Well, great. Well, Caitlin, let's take a quick musical break once again. And Nikki, would you introduce this next selection?
Sure. This is one of the mashups.
I'm gonna turn down the volume.
In the show. this one's not as, well, like, it builds, but this one is Heaven. It's a little mashup. It's Heaven, More Than Words, and To Be With You. Starts off, but it's the primary song that it becomes is Heaven by Warrant. And like you asked about the lyrics and the songs, they have not changed any of the lyrics. There's just, I believe, like one or two lines in a couple of the songs they changed, but the lyrics work and the plot revolves around them. So this is one of our mashups.
Say
Not that I want you not to say, but if you only knew.
That's from Rock of Ages, and the Kalamazoo Civic production, which has sold out its first two nights, begins on Friday and continues through February 11th. Show details are online at kazoocivic.com, and you spell that kazoocivic.com. Or the box office, where you can talk to someone, is 343-1313. The director of the show is Nikki Poor. And who are some of the other characters we should not forget to mention before Friday?
Good call. Well, the cool thing about this show is, well, there's many cool things about this show, but one of the interesting things is that they are fully aware that they're in a musical. They know there's a character named Lonnie. He calls himself the Dramatic Conjurer. He used to be a drummer. Now he's a sound god, a self-proclaimed sound god, played by Dwight L. Trice Jr. And he, who people may recognize as Igor in Young Frankenstein from earlier this season, he opens the show and starts talking to the audience. And front row, be ready. He might come talk to you, but he breaks the fourth wall, talks about that he's in a musical. Drew and Sherry don't know they're in a musical. They're the young lovers, and the story is kind of happening to them. They don't necessarily know they're in a musical, but a lot of times Lonnie takes you through the show. He comes out in between songs, does a lot of unique things involving some unique props, and he kind of carries us through from song to song, scene to scene, as far as what happens. And then the two proprietors of the establishments that we're in, so the show primarily takes place either outside on the Sunset Strip in front of the Bourbon Room and the Venus Gentlemen's Club. And the Bourbon Room is the bar, the place that Arsenal got their start, and which is the band that Stacey Jacks is the lead singer of. And that is run by Dennis Dupree, who used to be in a power rock trio that opened for the Alan Parsons Project. And he still has a little bit of hippie, the 70s stuck in him a little bit. That's played by Brian Bay. And then Sandy Davis plays Justice Charlier, who runs the Gentleman's Club, the Venus, across the way. And, well, let's just say that Sherry goes to Los Angeles to become an actress, but she might end up at the Venus Club. Spoiler alert. So she gets taken under Justice's wing, and she came to LA too back in the day to become a jazz singer. And some of my favorite costumes, the costumes are all fantastic, but Sandy Davis as Justice appears in a different outfit every time she comes on stage, and there's a lot of LaMay. A lot of shine, a lot of stuff happening, so, which is great.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, the whole area of the arena of rock is a over-exaggeration, over-the-top kind of thing. But did you ever have to, as director, pull anybody back from going so far?
This cast is amazing. They have, they're a dream team almost, in that they always give 100%, and it's all their energy, and it's not too bad. I believe I did give that note once to you.
Yeah, and not in a huge way, but you're like, go for it. And then I do, and they say, okay, just a little less. That's good. But that was good, but a little less.
Yeah, I do believe I did tell, I told Lonnie to calm down at one point.
That's impressive.
It's great, yeah.
What's it feel like, Alec, to have a real band rocking behind you and as you belt out these songs?
It is incredible.
You living a sort of secret dream?
Kind of, yeah. There's honestly nothing like it. I was in the production of Tommy like 3-4 years ago now, at the Civic in the same space, and we had a band behind us then too, and it was my first time experiencing it, and it was better than I expected. And this learning. Technically, I learned after I was cast in the show that we were going to have a live band on stage with us, and that just made the entire audition and everything so much more worth it. There's really no other feeling actually being the lead singer of a band for however long I get to be.
However evil you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Robbie, same question. What's it feel like?
It's great. Like Alec, I was also in Tommy with Brent Decker leading that band, and that was fantastic as well. But it's there's such a small group, and yet their sound is huge. These five musicians that are all extremely talented at what they do just not only support us, but also take their own moments. And it's pretty fantastic, especially with the keytar work.
Nick, you mentioned there's 27 numbers in a two-hour show. Mm-hmm. So you're fitting in music like every 2 minutes, basically.
It's rare they're not playing or singing something. Yeah. And I think we have 17 songs that are choreographed live, but then there's 10 more underscorings that you'll recognize songs that you don't even hear lyrics to that the band is playing underscoring things.
Yes.
I wonder if other people out there thought the same thing when they heard that Caitlin Sackett's character's name is Sherry Christian. If you kind of twigged on the song Sister Christian, is there a link? Is that a coincidence?
Yeah. So when I come out for Sister Christian.
You do sing Sister Christian.
Yeah.
They sing it about her, basically. Her parents sing it to her.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and it's when I'm trying to,
back
leave
in Kansas. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So her father, played by Stacey Jacks, also spoiler alert, it's written in the program, but we don't see Stacey Jacks for a while, so he plays Sherry's dad.
Oh, really? that happens so often in theater. You can cast one person as two people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's written to be that way, too, actually. And Justice is her mother, and they're kind of the two people that she deals with in L.A. at first, so... Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite song to sing?
Oh, High Enough, actually.
What's that?
It's actually Drew and Sherry end up getting in a fight, and that's the song we sing right after, and it's fantastic. I just really love the arrangement.
Yeah, it's a nice duet that... the entire cast eventually joins in, and I think it's originally written by Ted Nugent.
Yes, Ted Nugent and Damn Yankees. It's an original Damn Yankees song, and it's one of my favorites too because Sam is telling me it's her favorite too. It's just it's a huge number with lots of harmony. The cast gets to sing some amazing stuff all together, and they join in, and Mr. Nick Rogers also gets to join on the ensemble, really high, squelty, belty stuff along with Robbie.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's take a break and hear High Enough.
I don't want to hear about it anymore. It's a shame I've got to live without you anymore.
Oh, there's a fire in my heart, pounding in my breast, driving me crazy. We don't need to talk about it.
Won't you find me up?
Oh, fly me over yesterday. Can you take yesterday's just a memory.
That's from Rock of Ages, which opens at the Kalamazoo Civic in the Parish Theater on Friday. Friday and Saturday are sold out shows. Sunday at 2 o'clock is still available, and shows run through February 11th at the Parish Theater. And details can be found online at kazoocivic.com, KAZOOCivic.com, or 343-1313. And I'm in the studio still with Nikki Poor, who's the director, Robbie Cook, Alec Olween, Sam Slotto, and Caitlin Sackett, all of them part of the cast of Rock of Ages. So I want to go back to Robbie, I think, and get a little more detail on your experience with the show, bringing it to fruition. Did you do a lot of listening in the car, for example? I mean, there's a...
a little bit. So once I'm cast in a show, I refuse to listen or watch anything from the people who did the show on Broadway.
Oh, why is that?
I just don't like to be influenced necessarily. I don't want to like sing the exact same way they do or say the lines the same way they do, just because it might not be honest to what my director sees or what I see in the moment.
Even though you're trying to memorize, too.
I mean, yes.
And sometimes listening helps to memorize.
Yes. It definitely helps that I can read music.
But yeah, you could sit in front of a piano and play it for yourself if you want.
This time, however, was a little different because my partner is also in the show. So he listens to the show all the time. And so I would hear it in the background, even though I'm like trying not to listen to it. But yeah, I play a lot of the music. I would listen to some of the original songs, but not the cast recording, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. And what else happened in your process to bring this to
stage? I do a lot of book work, like where I'm from, what I'm doing, things like that to prepare. And that's for every role, whether I'm the ensemble member with no lines or the lead of the show, like in this example. So just a lot of thinking, and sometimes I actually write it down, like where I'm going. I'm always going somewhere, so I always know what my next destination is in every scene, for example.
You want your guy, Drew, to be really authentic, a real guy.
But... Yes. I'm supposed to be the most normal man on stage.
This
is the
true.
Best way to explain it.
That's true. With very simple goals.
Just I just want to sing music and go on dates.
Go on dates. Yep.
So if you weren't the lead singer of... Arsenal, what did you do in this band?
Oh.
So, I am not in the band.
At
Arsenal.
All?
No.
You're not a bandmate of Stacey here?
I'm trying to make my own solo career, but it's a little late.
Tell her your stage name.
My stage name is Wolfgang von Colt. Normally, I would scream it. yes, I get picked up by an agent at the end, but not at the end, but like at the end of the first act. And the second act, my character's struggling to find booking with an agency because it's the end of the rock era. And they're more looking for the poppy New Kids on the Block, more direction. And that's not what I want to do.
Yeah, rock did kind of have its... last hurrah around that time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any other stories on how you build your character? Alec, perhaps you could talk about your villain, Stacey Jackson.
One thing that really, really actually helped me came from Nikki in rehearsal one day. She told me, so as... an actor, you are supposed to consider all of the other actors on stage and take their journey through this show with you into consideration, and really try and feed them their motivation for their next line. And Nikki, about halfway through rehearsals, told me not to take that into account and to play more of a selfish actor who didn't really need to give anything to anyone I was acting with. And that actually really helped me. It gave me a sense of selfishness that I couldn't find without, because every scene I was always considering my acting partner too much. But now not having to think like, oh, I need to like help this emotion or give this emotion or something. I just think about exactly what Stacey Jacks needs in that moment, and that's what I give. And it's helped develop a lot, honestly. I also do a little bit of book work. There's this 6-step method that Robbie and Caitlin and I actually learned back in high school. It's pretty much it asks a series of questions, all split up into different categories. For example, like, why are you in this scene? Or even it goes down to as detailed as what are you wearing or where are you coming from right before this scene? And you pretty much just fill all of the questions out as much as you can, as well as you can. And it really just helps you get into the mindset of the character. It really helps me, at least.
Did you just say that three of you went to high school together?
Kind of. So, no, but yes. I went to Portage Central, graduated 2013. Robbie went to Loy Norix, and Caitlin went to, Plainwell?
I homeschooled. I homeschooled at the end of my high school.
There is this opportunity we all had, an EFA program in high school called Musical Theater Advanced Workshop that we were all able to partake in. It's like a 2-hour class that went throughout the entire year. And they taught several different acting styles, and they taught music. And so we actually got to learn a lot of things that people who go to college for musical theater learn. Mm-hmm. So we kind of got a little step up on people, I guess, in high school. It was a great opportunity.
This workshop, it all reminds me of how I still get nightmares of being on a stage and not knowing what I'm supposed to be doing there. But you do so much preparation that even if you have a terrible memory lapse, there's things that will catch you because of the work you prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, do you get those dreams still?
I absolutely used to. I've since developed kind of a fix for them where you really, it sounds basic, but really, like, it all comes down to being in character, being in the moment, being in the scene. If you're really in the scene, if something goes wrong, you can usually find a way around it, at least fairly easily, in my experience.
Do you have any stories along those lines, Sam?
Well, right now I'm just feeling jealous that I didn't get to go to that workshop.
It's a great class.
Yeah, that sounds like a really awesome opportunity. Yeah, I mean, talking about, Alec, what you were saying, and if something goes horribly wrong, I think, too, it's just about having done this show so many times that you know the important things that happen in whatever scene. You know where the show is going, and you know you kind of have to figure out a way to at least get the important things out if all else goes wrong. And it's kind of an interesting experience. I've always been in the ensemble, or, you know, I've never really had this many lines ever in a production. So this is kind of a learning experience for me too, in that, you know, in trying to really have, I'm getting so much more from the text about my character than I ever have before. Like Robbie was talking about before, you know, even when you're in the ensemble, you need to create a backstory and figure out, you know, why are you here and what are you doing? And, you know, so that otherwise you just become a piece of furniture, you know, if you don't have your own character, even if you don't get to say much. So now I'm getting all this, I have all these lines to learn and things, and that tells me so much more about my character. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little easier. It also makes it a little harder because I do need to have more motivation and more energy and really, really a bigger understanding of who Regina is.
You're more responsible for us in the audience.
Exactly.
Getting the story, getting the feel, and being caught up in it. Yeah. So that would be a little more on your shoulders.
But I'm up to the task.
You are. The cool thing about this show, too, is that there. I said from the very beginning that the word ensemble means everyone, and that's literally what it means. It's the entire whole. So these 18 people, even if they don't have any lines, all have an individual character that they have created and prepared, and the whole entire ambiance of what's happening on stage. A lot of them don't leave the stage for about the first even 35 minutes, depending the people that are considered what we consider ensemble, the three waitresses and the patrons in the bar, and they keep the bar going and keep it running and to keep that the feel of the Bourbon Room alive. Mm-hmm. And it's really wonderful with the work they've all done.
Robbie started off talking a little bit about how to take care of his voice. I'm wondering, Nikki, if you are also monitoring your cast for over singing or keeping, taking care of themselves to do a 3-week run.
Yes, and we always say take care of yourselves. But it's funny because they know this group of people have taken care of themselves the entire time. They really know themselves. But yes, we are keeping track and listening, and they are all singing. They came in knowing how to sing. Most, they all know how to sing. And like Robbie said, Robbie really does a great job taking care of his voice. And Courtney has listened for that all along as well, and helping them learn the music and be able to sing the notes that they need to sing. And then we, of course, take care of, I'm also the choreographer, so I made sure they take care of their bodies as well, and that everyone is safe and not going to fall off of the stage and get hit in the head.
It strikes me as it would be very hard. This show is filled with epic moments in rock, and how can you just not let yourself scream as hard as you can?
That's the musical theater aspect of it, I think, too, for them, is that they go for it, but they still have to remain 50% technique, 50% living truthfully in the circumstances that the characters are in. So they do a great job.
Did you have something to add, Sam?
I was just going to say the hardest part about this show for me is when I'm sitting, in the rehearsal room off stage, but I'm still in the room and trying not to sing along with all of the songs because it's so much fun. And in the idea that I don't want to obviously, intrude on what's actually happening on stage, but also... there is that element of taking care of your voice. When I get home from rehearsal, I want to keep, just belting and going through all the songs. I just love it, but I have to pull myself back a little bit. But it's so much fun.
Would you think about going and seeing some sort of tribute band now that you wouldn't have before?
Oh, I definitely would have before. Yeah. I'm all about it. When we did our first rehearsal with the band, I could not stop moving. I was so excited. It felt like we were at a bar seeing a cover band, but except that we get to sing with them. It was the best experience.
Well, we're about 5 minutes from the top of the hour in another NPR newscast. But I want to thank all of you for coming out and previewing Rock of Ages here on WMUK. And so now it's time for final thoughts and a gathering of interesting tidbits we may have missed. Since you have the microphone, Sam, I'll ask for your final thoughts on Rock of Ages.
It's an amazing show, so much energy and so much fun. There's no way you will not leave smiling.
How about you, Caitlin?
It's going to be a fantastic show, and I can't wait to share it with everyone.
Your cast included.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
How about you, Alec?
I don't know if I've ever been in a show with this much energy, this much electricity. It being in such an intimate space as the Parish Theater amplifies that to the max. So, yeah, there's no way you are not going to have a good time seeing this show.
And Robbie, what do you think?
I'm excited for the audience to come in. It's going to be an experience for them unlike most of the Civic, because this isn't a sit-back-and-watch show. They're as much of a part of the show as we are. Great. And it's going to be fantastic.
And Nikki.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, the audience is our final. We're waiting for the audience. Yep. And the band is part of it, too. They're not just back there playing and accompanying them. They're in it. We like they say, they go up with them. It's a full experience for the audience, too. So you will be in, going to be in a rock concert. You may get to clap along at some point. It is definitely, I think, like Alex said, one of the most energetic shows ever, and you will leave smiling. And oh, the things we have not told you, my friend. There are so many fun surprises that we have kept from you.
We left some things out.
Oh, yes. I actually asked the marketing director to not publish a couple of pictures of some things that you definitely want to come to see, some exciting costume reveals. And there's some that we didn't tell you, a couple songs that happened. So it's pretty exciting, some of the really fun surprises.
And Nikki, would you tell listeners how to find tickets?
Yes, you can get tickets by calling the fantastic box office staff at the Civic Theater at 343-1313, or you can get them right now online at kazoocivic.com.
And what highlight should we use to take us to the newscast?
We need to, Here I Go Again is the Act One finale, and everybody's is real emotional.
Thanks once again.
Thank you.
Where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the promises in the songs of yesterday, and I made up my mind. I ain't wasting no more time. Here I go again.